Okay, great. So, good afternoon, everyone. I hope you have been enjoying the presentation as much as I had. It was really inspiring, the 5 minute presentation that we had, particularly on the finance. And I'm going to see this view of trade. Perfect. So I'm aligning trade policies with biodiversity goal. And what we talked before is like how trade and biodiversity are in the picture. So they're actually quite close related. For example, 17.5% of the global trade is dependent on biodiversity-based products. We don't count yet the services, but you see how important its value is. And also that trade represents around 7% of the global GDP. If we see, for example, estimates from the World Bank of how the loss of pollination, fisheries, and forestry caused around $2.7 trillion US dollars annually by 2030, you see that it's actually very close. And what Ivo mentioned earlier, that biodiversity is only bees and trees. It's actually the basis of our economy and our life. And I just to bear with you a little bit also on how trade is normally seen as an indirect driver for biodiversity loss. So it has led to overexploitation, habitat changes, invasive species, pollution. But it also can be part of the solution. It can also help conserve and halt and reverse biodiversity loss. So we go in line with what the KNGBF mentioned. And if it's done, if it rather supports rather than undermines biodiversity-based efforts. And that's how we do it with the trade policy. So for me, that really the trade policy makes us transform this trade into a solution for biodiversity. It, for example, including establish clear property rights, promote export of biodiversity-based products and services, implement voluntary sustainability standards and guidelines, and provide incentives to the sustainable use of biodiversity. We have here one example based on the data from UNCTAD. It's on trade barriers, how trade barriers can actually slow the shift to biodiversity-friendly substitutes and at the cost of this transaction. For instance, the tariff on plastics, it's around 7.2%, while the tariffs for natural substitutes, like for example, algae for fever, face tariffs of 14.4%, so double. So you see how there's an imbalance that limits the ability of developing countries and SMEs and producers to scale up their biodiversity-based productions on biodiversity-friendly products and compete globally. So really, there is the solution with trade policy. We need to see how do we deal with that. And that's what we've been trying to do at UNCTAD. So try to see how trade can be used as an engine to conserve biodiversity, generate livelihoods, and promote development. So it mainly what we aim to do is incorporate biodiversity and social considerations into trade regulations and vice versa. It's not only working on the biodiversity and include trade, but also on trade, including biodiversity, and incentivize efforts to conserve and sustainably use biodiversity and promote beneficiary. I will share with you some brief examples because of the 5 minutes and the pictures. So here's one program of UNCTAD. It was launched this year, 30 years ago. It's the BioTrade Initiative. We promote trade and investment in biodiversity-based products. How do we ensure that? We developed a guideline in early 2000 that was tested and implemented right now in around 80 countries. We updated in 2020, and the three first principles are the objectives of the Convention on Biological Diversity are being used in a lot of sectors from terrestrial, marine, and other aquatic biodiversity-based ecosystems. So, for example, the sales of our biotrade, of the companies implementing biotrade principles and criteria on 2024 amounted $50 billion U.S. dollars, and if we consider that in 2003, whereas the first data that we have available, it was only 40 million. So we went from billions to billions. And this type of tool is how do we are trying to make this trade friendly with biodiversity. And just to highlight that at COP15, the principles and criteria were part of one of the complementary indicators under component under target 5, but also contributes to other targets. There's a study that we did, so you can download it and you can see further information on that. And I wanted to go to real practice. So in Peru, Misetur and from Peru support businesses in adopting sustainable practice. They have developed a label, and they're currently being used in around 100 countries. They are implementing sustainable practices by applying the budget principles and criteria. And they're protecting biodiversity, conserving livelihood, and ensuring the benefits are distributed fairly. And they're recovering the native species like cacao, quinoa, yacón, reaching around $500 million annually in exports since 2022. And I have another example. It's from the Juntas Program Sustainable Manufacturing and Environment Pollution Program, SMEP, that is advancing circular economy solutions in developing countries and turning waste into opportunities, reducing pollution and conserving biodiversity. Here's an example in Kenya, where they're transforming pineapple leaf waste into natural fibers for textiles, compost, and biofuels. These will not only create new jobs, improve social health, soil health, and reduce pollution, as well as contributing directly to biodiversity conservation and, for example, target KNGBS 7, 10, and 16. And trade can be a driver for cleaner and circular production, but it needs to be supported with policies and incentives so that actors actually implement. This is another example that I wanted to jump is on seaweed. So you know there's a big market, it's already available. The global production of seaweed tripled in the last decades. And the exports quadruple, so it's a big market out there, but the regulations have not kept pace with the rapid development of the sectors. The regulations are fragmented, trade concentrated in a few countries, and many developing countries struggle to access market and upscale in the value chain. There's no internationally recognized standard, and there is only one regional standard on the seaweed cultivation and harvesting. So it's quite it's a booming sector, but there's not really seeing how do we ensure that the sector is sustainable and inclusive. So through the UN, United Nations Global Seaweed Initiative launched last year, it involves member states, observers, and other organizations that want to see how do we build capacity and support inclusive, sustainable growth of the global seaweed sector. So that is something that we're coming up, and we're really happy to see also many of the players here in the room. And I'm almost done. Bear with me if I'm able to turn. We also organized this meeting where we connect the dots with trade. We organized the first COP trade day at a COP CBD COP 16. We organized the Ocean Forum. And it's important also what. It's my last slide, Diana. Voila, here. So it's also, we need data. Particularly for ministries of trade policy, you need to demonstrate how biodiversity is important. So, how to provide evidence-based information on trade flows that can help governments formulate policies, but also be evident for them to act, to identify where trade policies reforms are needed, and reduce. And how do we achieve the biodiversity goals? We have the first one is the trade and biodiversity statistical tool. For example, this is the data that you can get for the complementary indicator under target 5, for plastic substitute, and for oceans. And I think that's it. So thank you very much. And I'm here for any questions.